You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Wednesday, March 31st, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, and I'd like to start the show with a special shout-out to subscribers to this podcast. And if you'd like to join that group, just go to your favorite podcast source and click the subscribe button, and we will deliver new episodes to your device each morning as they are posted. And it will be each morning because this is a daily podcast covering the New York Jets. We have new episodes each day, Monday through Friday, through most of the year. Today we have our weekly mailbag. Thanks to everybody who sent in questions. Our first question comes from Joseph, who writes, "Hey John, hope you are doing well. Joe Douglas is already getting criticism for potentially holding on to Sam for too long and missing his window for finding a trade partner. Is this criticism fair? It seems like an overreaction to me." And yes, there has been criticism from some people about the way Joe Douglas has handled Sam Darnold. It seems like there's a theory out there that the Jets had an opportunity to trade him early in free agency, and there may have been teams that were interested, but those teams signed quarterbacks, for example, Washington with Ryan Fitzpatrick or Chicago with Andy Dalton. But here's the thing. I feel like if you're trading for Sam Darnold, and if you're willing to give up an early round pick, it's a sign you view him as a potential long-term solution for your team. So, hypothetically, let's talk about the Bears for a second. If the Bears really believe Sam Darnold can be their long-term solution at quarterback, would signing Andy Dalton prevent you from trading, from making that trade? Dalton, we all know, is a stopgap. So the whole line of thinking that Joe Douglas missed an opportunity doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because signing guys like Andy Dalton or Ryan Fitzpatrick should not prevent you from trading for a young quarterback you believe is your long-term solution. Now, I think the bigger issue the Jets are running into is perhaps the market for Darnold is not as great as some of the rumors we've heard reported. In fact, during the season, when there was talk about the Jets trading Darnold, I figured they'd probably get a late-round pick in return. Maybe you get a late-round pick just due to draft pedigree, because he was the third overall pick. That could get somebody to give you a late-round pick. And then all of these rumors began about how the Jets were going to get a second-round pick. You know, some people even talked about a first-round pick, day-two pick. And these rumors never really made a lot of sense to me, because Darnold's play just doesn't justify it. You know, if you go back a few years, Josh Rosen only got a second round pick a year after he was drafted, and he still had 3 years left on his rookie contract, and he only had 1 year that was really a bad year for him at that point, because he was only 1 year into his career. Darnold has, you know, 3 years where he struggled, especially 2020, and he's only got 1 year left on his rookie contract. So these factors all would make you think that Darnold's value is very low. I think, Mike, this is just a guess, but my guess is that there's not as big of a market for Sam Darnold as people think there is. I mean, that to me, that's kind of the common sense thing. Throughout this whole thing, I've never really understood why there were all these reports about there being such a robust market for Darnold. And I think if the Jets somehow get good value for Darnold, it would be a great trade, but I think that maybe expectations were too high on what the Jets could get for Darnold. I'm not sure it's a case where the market has disappeared as much as I wonder whether the market ever existed to begin with, because just taking what makes sense to me, all of these rumors never really made a whole lot of sense to me. And as far as Darnold goes, I mean, this is my viewpoint. I think that the price is a day two pick, and you could talk me into maybe like an early day three pick, an early fourth rounder. But once you get past the early fourth round, you're essentially into what I would call the dart throwing portion of the draft, where the odds are against you. If you hit on a pick, you know, you're pretty lucky, because most players don't pan out. And at that point, I mean, Darnold's kind of a dart throw himself, because you're taking a guy who's got some ability, you're taking him away from Adam Gase, and you know, maybe he's got a shot to turn it around. And I would keep him if I can't get at least like a late day two pick, like a late third round pick or even an early fourth round pick, I feel like I'd keep him even if the Jets drafted a quarterback. Because ultimately, you're still going to need somebody to compete with the rookie in training camp. You're going to need some sort of placeholder guy. And that guy could be Darnold. Instead of going out and signing somebody else, you could just keep Darnold as a placeholder. And, you know, if he wins the starting job, he starts early in the season. If he plays his way out of the job, then you put the rookie in. And if he has a good season, then, you know, you could look at maybe franchising him and looking to trade him and maybe getting that day two pick in return. So that's how I view it. But I question whether there actually was this market for Darnold that was reported, because it's also possible that the Jets were the source of that. It's possible that Joe Douglas was trying to drive up Darnold's price by leveraging the media, making teams think that, well, if we want to get Darnold, we're going to have to give up a premium draft pick. You know, it could be Joe Douglas saying, well, I got all these offers, and he's trying to kind of drive the price. That does happen in the NFL. I'm not sure how often it works, but teams do try it. Ultimately, though, I feel like, and listen, I think if there was a scenario where there was an offer for a day two pick on the table, and now those offers are gone, then yes, I do think that would be grounds for criticizing Joe Douglas. But I just question whether that has actually happened. My intuition, you know, my sense of this is that probably did not happen. My sense is that there probably just is not as good of a market for Darnold as people want. And that happens sometimes. You know, sometimes there are reports about all this interest, this trade interest in a player, and it doesn't really exist. We find out later. We've been telling you for a while now about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Built Bar is the low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. And now it's time to find out which Built Bar is best. It's Built Bar Madness. You may be watching the NCAA tournament, which determines the best college basketball team of the year. Built Bar has put together its own tournament with great matchups and a bracket to determine the best tasting Built Bar flavor. And you can go to builtbar.com or to bar_built on Twitter to find out more. And remember to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's LOCKED15, LOCKED, number 5, to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on our weekly Mailbag Wednesday show. Our next question, why haven't the Jets or any other team signed Brian Poole? Is there something we are missing about his performance or cost? Well, it's always difficult to know what a player is asking for, because sometimes a player remains in free agency for a long time because they're asking for too much money. So it's possible Poole is just asking for more than any team is willing to pay, but it just seems to me like the NFL does not really value the slot corner position as highly as it should. This is a starter for your team because the base formation on offense in the NFL is three wide receivers. So that means you need three corners. One of them is going to start in the slot. But teams just don't put a premium on it. If you look at where players are drafted, you don't really see slot corners drafted that early. In fact, many of the best ones in the NFL were either late-round picks or undrafted free agents. And it's also true when you look at the contracts that are given out. The guys who get big money who play the slot tend to be kind of hybrid players who also play a lot of safety. So I just don't know how much of a market there is for a guy like Poole, because this happened last year. Poole was coming off a great year in 2019, and he had to settle for a one-year contract from the Jets. So it's not like this is the first time we've seen this with Poole. I think my guess is that, I mean, it's always possible that the player's just asking for too much money, but I think it may just come down to the position. And I think this is one of those areas where there's a little bit of a disconnect in the league between front offices and coaches, where front offices maybe have not caught up to how important the slot corner position is for a lot of coaches. Because in today's NFL, as I said, it's a starting level player, and frequently it's a guy who has a big role, because the slot is more and more becoming a matchup position where offenses look to use the space there to exploit favorable matchups. So you need somebody who can hold down that area of the field. Our next question, what are your thoughts on a 17th game? I'm not a big fan of it. I don't know that it really adds a lot to the season, but here's what I will say for a 17th game, is that if you're going to have the 17th game, what I think they should do is they should try and find matchups that fans want to see, whether that's, you know, allowing fans to vote, or whether it's just keeping the fans in mind when you're setting these matchups. So I think you should have, like, Jets-Giants, or you should most years try to put together a Super Bowl rematch, or have Brady go to New England, which I guess you can't do both this year because a Super Bowl rematch would make the Chiefs and the Bucks the 17th game, whereas, you know, the Bucks would also be involved in the Brady in New England matchup. But I think that's the kind of mindset that the league should take if they're going to have a 17th game. They should really keep the fans in mind and try and find the attractive matchups that fans are looking for, because prior to the 17th game, the schedule was essentially set. The schedule was set pretty much until the end of time, until they changed the format, because you rotate which division in your conference you play, you rotate which division in the other conference you play, you have your division games, and then you play the two other teams in your conference that finished in the same place in the standings as you the previous year. So there was not really an opportunity to find out the matchups fans wanted to see. I think that that's what they should do with the 17th game if they're going to have it. Make sure you're finding the best possible matchups that fans want to see. Our next question, do you think at this point Joe Douglas knows what he's doing with the number two pick, or does the process typically go right up until the draft? Well, I don't know exactly how the Jets do it, but from what I've heard, the process typically continues up until maybe a few days before the draft, until the teams have their final meetings and set their final board. Now, again, it could vary by team. I don't know exactly how the Jets do it. I think there still is some work going on. Of course, Joe Douglas, if you watched yesterday, was at Justin Fields' pro day at Ohio State. And there are processes that continue, you know, interviewing players, because it's important. These interviews that happen with players can be important. You know, you want to make sure you're getting a guy who's going to come in, who's going to work really hard for you. And especially if you're looking at the quarterback position, you want to get as many opportunities as possible to talk to these guys, get, you know, have face-to-face, or to the extent you can today, I guess, a face-to-face meeting over Zoom, and really get to know these people, because especially at the quarterback position, this is your leader. This is the guy who's going to be the face of your franchise for years to come. So you want to make sure you have collected as much information as possible on these players. So I don't know that the final decision's been made just yet. I don't think it's going to go all the way until draft. I don't think that, like, we're going to be on the clock and the Jets are going to be unsure of what they're going to do. I think they'll know by then. I think the process is ongoing right now, though. Now, I think it's also possible that Joe Douglas is kind of leaning in one direction, and they're just completing the rest of the work for due diligence. To be honest with you, I would be a little surprised if the Jets were not leaning in one direction right now, because most of the work should be done, but there's still a few things left to complete before the process is done and before the Jets have made their final decision. So just a guess, but I don't think it's done yet. I think it'll be determined a little bit before the draft, once all of the player interviews have completed, once they've completed every last piece of work. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The Final Four is now set as Gonzaga and UCLA joined Houston and Baylor in the Final Four last night. And Bet Online also covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON, at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Mailbag Wednesday. Our next question, do you have any interest in picking up Alex Smith? I think he could work in either scenario, whether the Jets draft a quarterback or they trade down. He could allow the rookie to develop at his own pace, or he could challenge Darnold for the starting job and give him some competition. Thoughts? I was actually thinking about Alex Smith the other day, and in all honesty, I don't really know how much Alex Smith has left in the tank, but you look at the other options that are available, I feel like he's about as viable as any quarterback who's out there right now. And I wouldn't mind bringing him in. I think that the Jets should always be focused on making sure they have a competent backup quarterback. And, you know, Alex Smith's performance in 2020 was up and down. I mean, I don't think he looked like vintage Alex Smith, who himself was a pretty limited quarterback. I mean, Alex Smith in his prime had his limitations. But, yeah, I could see it. I think, you know, he's about as good of an option as out there if you want to bring somebody in. So my expectations just wouldn't be very high, but they'd be higher than practically anybody else who is available right now and who is a veteran quarterback. Our next question, John, what's your take on a scenario where both Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson are on the team next year? I know the Jets had a similar situation years back with Sanchez and Geno Smith, but if I recall, the Jets were stuck with Sanchez because of his contract. Typically, teams look to bring in a veteran like Alex Smith to fill this role. Having Darnold and Wilson in the same quarterback room would seem pretty awkward and dysfunctional. Do you agree? I talked about this a little bit earlier, but I think that the idea that Darnold and Wilson together, or let's say Darnold and Justin Fields for the sake of argument for all of you Justin Fields fans out there, the idea of them being together and that being a problem, it seems like an easy narrative, but I feel like the dangers of a situation like that are vastly overstated. I mean, look, it may be a little uncomfortable for Darnold, but guess what? That's part of your job. That's what you're being paid for. You know, you're a professional. You have to get over it. I mean, that's just how it goes. That's the way it is in the NFL. You have to compete for your job. Sometimes a guy is brought in to replace you. That's part of being a pro in this league. So I think that it's one of those things where the media would like to make a big story out of it. I'm not convinced that it would be detrimental to the Jets, however. I'm very skeptical of the claim that it would, you know, a situation like this would totally divide the locker room or, you know, create controversy. Look, obviously it's going to be uncomfortable for Sam Darnold if you bring in a quarterback to replace him as the long-term solution for this franchise, but guess what? That's part of the job. You got to play better. So he wouldn't be the first guy in that situation, and I would expect him to approach it with professionalism. And I don't think that people being uncomfortable is a reason to go away from it if it's the best option for the team. And I think the best option for the team very well might be bringing in a young quarterback, but also keeping Darnold around and giving him one more chance to show what he can do without Gase to hopefully build up his value. And if that's the best thing for the team, then I'm sorry. Listen, you want your people to be happy, but at some point, what's best for the team matters more than whether people are totally happy with the situation. You're a pro. You got to get over it, I think. Our next question, given how talent-starved the Jets are, isn't this looking more like another offseason away from making any kind of run? Should that influence the way Joe Douglas runs the draft? I suppose what I'm saying is, do we draft somebody like Wilson when we are realistically two seasons away from surrounding him with the requisite talent to succeed? Well, I don't know that you're necessarily two seasons away from giving Wilson the pieces he needs to succeed. I mean, if you look at this receiver group, it's actually pretty solid right now. This is not a situation like a Sam Darnold walked into where he didn't have anything to work with, or, you know, a situation like Geno Smith had, or later in Mark Sanchez's career, maybe not year one or year two with Mark Sanchez, but later in his career, year four, where there were no pieces in place. This is actually a pretty solid receiver group right now with Corey Davis and with Denzel Mims entering year two, and even with Jamison Crowder and Keelan Cole as a number four receiver. That's a pretty solid group right there. Now, the offensive line's got to get some work done, but you've got some resources. I mean, you've got an extra first-round pick. You've got an extra third-round pick. And you've got resources next year. You have an extra first-round pick next year. So the team might be a couple years away. I mean, I don't think the team is ready to win, but I don't think that the pieces are necessarily lacking for a young quarterback to go in and succeed. And this is always, you know, the question, and there's no definitive answer to it. You know, on the one hand, do you want to have the team built before the quarterback arrives? But on the other hand, do you have the luxury of waiting for the quarterback you want? Do you have the luxury of passing on a quarterback you want because the timing's not right? Because will you have the opportunity to draft the quarterback in the future? And there's no definitive answer to this. Teams have taken both approaches and been right. Teams have taken both approaches and been wrong, you know, whether they immediately draft the quarterback or whether they wait on the quarterback. But while the team, I don't think the team's ready to win yet. I don't think you necessarily need a fully built team for a young quarterback to succeed. I think what you need is enough pieces for the quarterback. You just need to put a competent framework around the quarterback. And I think the Jets are on their way to doing that if they address the offensive line here. But I think there's nothing wrong with the group of receivers the Jets have right here. And that's even if they don't draft anybody. And I think that it's certainly possible that they do look to address receiver further in the draft. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.